The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, I appreciate all those that work with our young people and the choirs that we have, and of course with the adult choir and our bus ministry choir and things of that nature as well. So what a blessing that is. Let's talk tonight, Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 29, where the Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good," again, emphasizing that which is good, "to the use of edifying." The word edifying simply means to build up. So if you're a Bible note taker, you could jot down the words "build up." "And for the use of edifying, that ye," watch it, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now, as we think about healing marriage conflicts, may I say, even the best homes, husbands and wives, sometimes don't see eye to eye. Sometimes there's disagreements. Sometimes there's conflicts in a marriage. Couples sometimes will wind up fighting over conflicts. They'll raise their voices. Oh, they may even throw things at each other. And one runs across the room, does a duck and a roll, while the other is heaving things across the room. I remember one time, I've told the story before, we were part owners of some shrimping boats when I was coming up down in the Chesapeake Bay, and we had four shrimping boats. And I remember Bob and Rose, who were just mutual friends of our family. We had two shrimping boats, they had two shrimping boats, and anyway, we kept them down there right out back of their house. And I remember Rose getting mad at Bob one night. Oh, my, did she get mad. She grabbed a baseball bat. She chased him around the house. I'm talking about she's swinging. And this is not a saved woman, so she's saying some things as she's swinging. And, boy, she's chasing him. She's mad. She made him unlock the trunk and get in the trunk and shut the trunk. Now, can I tell you, after he got out about 4.5 days later, they made things right. No, I'm kidding. But, I've seen marriages go through some tumultuous times. I've seen people, however, that are very sweet in their marriage relationship. I've seen people, I cannot remember one time that my grandparents ever, not one time, ever raised their voices at each other. Not one time. I can't remember one time, not one time, where they ever used harsh words one towards another. It was just sweet. They'd hold hands when they walk. They would, you'd walk around the corner and you'd see them smooching outside, you know, just little smooching, you know, but just neat stuff to watch them. And so marriages are different. Marriages are different. We had Larry Brown here, good friend. And I never forget Brother Brown saying, you know, oh, he loves his wife. He said, oh, I love my wife. He said, at night, he said, I like to take her socks off and kiss every single one of her toes. And I don't know, but that just did not turn me on, you know. So marriages are just different, you know. And people have to, you have to work with your married partner about things that you will do. Yes, and even the public arena. But perhaps, we can decide that if there's going to be fussing and fighting, you'll do it fairly, and also that you'll do it logically, and that you're not going to leave any battle scars. You're not going to leave any turmoil left behind. So how is it that we can bring healing to a marriage conflict? What can we do? I'm going to give you some statements. Statement number one, be ready with a positive solution after bringing up a negative problem. Be ready with a positive solution after bringing up a negative problem. Let me show you a Bible verse for it. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. Now, that's negative. There's a negative command. Don't steal. Don't do that again. Sort of like a parent getting onto a child. No, no, no. Don't do that again. All right? And so you've got that negative. Now, watch this. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. The Bible says that he may have, it says, to give to him that needeth. Now, that's positive. So he says, no, wait a minute, here's the negative. Let those that stole steal no more. Let those that stole steal no more. But those that have stolen, here's the positive of it. Learn to work with your hands. Learn to work with your hands, okay? So God didn't say, don't steal any longer, and that was it. No, he gives a positive solution that would take care of the negative action. You know, before you announce the criticism, maybe you ought to dwell on a solution a little bit so that that can be implemented when you're talking to a person. Don't jump ahead in an argument before you have a reasonable solution. Be able to solidify a better outcome because of the way that you think it through before you jump. Think on it. Before you speak, think on it. Before you become vengeant, think on it. Maybe you could say something positive and then bring the negative out. And then bring the positive out. Oh, example, your wife has a new hairdo, and you don't like it. And you say, honey, oh, that looks lovely today. Especially the way that you styled it. But I feel like I need to mention something to you, however. That bright orange color that you have, you know, maybe you listened too much to the niece. And maybe you shouldn't have went quite that drastic there. However, can I tell you, I love you so much, I'll give you money to go to the beautician center and have it redone. See? So you did the positive, you did the negative, and then you did the positive. And she didn't still receive it and hit you over the head with a frying pan. But be ready to give a positive solution after bringing up the negative problem. Statement number one. Statement number two, watch your words and guard your tone of voice. I learned something when I traveled to Thailand. I was trying to speak some Thai, and I got the word right, but I got the tone wrong. And Brother Jamhong told me, he said, don't say that again. That's a bad word. All right, now, but I had the word, and I didn't understand. I said, well, I don't understand. I've got the word right. And he said, no, it's the tone. He said, we have many different tones in our language. And he said, so if you can say the right word in the wrong tone, and it means a total different definition. Now, can I tell you, when you speak to your spouse in the wrong tone, even though you may have the right word, it can give a wrong definition. So be very careful that you watch your tone. Be very careful not just what you say, but be very careful about the way you say what you say. Hey, have you ever done this? Now, don't raise your hand. Don't confess. We're not doing that tonight. But now watch this, okay? But have you ever said this? Have you ever said something to your husband? He misread it and got upset because he read your face and he didn't hear your words. Somebody's not going home tonight. But have you ever done that to your husband? Have you ever done that, stay with me now, to your wife? Teenagers, have you ever done that to your parents? Okay, now you have to be very, very careful that you do not say things in the wrong tone. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed. Now watch the reasoning of this. Proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, now watch it now, to the use of what? Edifying. All right? So he says, here's what you want to do. You want to make sure that when you say something, that it is a building. It's not a tearing down. It's not a destroying. It's not the breaking ball, the demolition ball. It's not the dynamite. It's not the atomic bomb, okay? Even stay away from the BB gun, all right? Just be careful. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, the Bible says, in a multitude of words, it says, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is what? Talk to me. Is wise. All right. So just because you think it doesn't mean, first off, you have to say it. Just because you think it doesn't mean that you have to say it at all. But if you think it and you're tempted to say it, be careful that you don't say it in the wrong timing and with the wrong tone. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. All right, so what do you do? All right, all of a sudden, your husband comes home and he's just as ornery as a bear. I mean, he's just unreasonable. I mean, everything went wrong today. Everything that he touched turned to coal. Everything that you touched turned to gold. And he's coming in and he is ornery as can be. What do you do? Well, the way to help him is soft answers. Soft answers. The way to help her, if she comes home that way, she is angry as a bear or bearish or whatever you want to call them. What do? You give that soft answer. Okay, so be constructive with what you say. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, the Bible says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. All right, be careful how you say what you say. You know, you can communicate, if you will, please, what you think is right, but if they've not heard it right, stay with it now, you've not communicated it well. You can communicate what you think is right, but if they've not heard it right, then perhaps you've not communicated it well. Okay? Be careful. You want to have a relationship that's always a building relationship, not a tearing down relationship. All right, statement number one, I said this, be ready with a positive solution after bringing up a negative problem. Statement number two, watch your words and guard your tone of voice. Statement number next, keep your words private when dealing with a conflict. Your neighbors need not to know. The fire department needs not to know. The mayor needs not to know. Facebook needs not to know. Group text needs not to know. Okay, keep it private. Keep it private. Okay, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, watch this, be put on Facebook. It's not what it says. It says be put away from you. It says with all malice. So God says, okay, when there's problems in the home and you're dealing with a conflict, keep it private. Your kids don't need to know it. Well, you know, me and your father, we had a knockdown, drag out fight. I don't know if we're going to make it. I mean, looks like it's going to be over forever. Oh, shut up. You're hurting your marriage and you're hurting your kids. Don't do that. Don't bring your kids into this. Let it be private. It is none of their business. I'll say that again because I got 2.5 amens. It is none of their business. Go outside, sit in the car, have it out with each other. If you're going to yell, honk the horn many times so it overshadows the yelling. Go drive off somewhere. Go sit in a park. Don't go down to McDonald's and have it out over French fries, throwing French fries at each other across the table. Don't do that. Don't go to a nice restaurant and decide that you're going to have a knockdown, drag-out fight when everybody else went there to have a nice evening and you just ruined it for everyone. Don't do that. Go somewhere, get secluded, and talk. The word malice simply means this. Malice is the intent to cause hurt. And nothing more effective in causing hurt, think about this, is to air your dirty laundry in public. Somebody said this, sometimes you need to forget what you feel and remember what you deserve. Forget what you feel and remember what you deserve. By the way, everybody in here, bar none, deserves hell. Anything you get above dying and burning in hell is a benefit. When you ever get down, when you ever get discouraged, just think what you deserve. You deserve to die and burn in hell. Now, because you're saved, you're not going there. That gives you reason to rejoice. All right? So, don't speak out loud about your problems in public. Have you ever been embarrassed for somebody? I have. You ever been embarrassed for somebody? I mean, all of a sudden there's a couple sitting at a table, and then all of a sudden they start raising their voice at each other. Then all of a sudden they start yelling at each other. Then all of a sudden somebody slams something down on the table, and they're yelling as they're going out the restaurant. Have you ever felt for somebody like that? Have you ever felt for their waiter or for their waitress? I mean, come on. Can I tell you, there's no good that comes out of that. There's no good. If you are so irrational that you cannot, by way of the Holy Spirit, control you, yea, be controlled by the Holy Spirit, then you're too irrational to hold a reasonable conversation. Okay? So don't speak out loud about your problems in public. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Keep your good name. Keep your good name. Book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19, the Bible says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, it says, and not willing to make, watch it now, her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, or privately, if you will. So what took place is he said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to protect the namesake there. Okay, don't use the weapon, if you will, please, to be something that is subtle, something that is cutting, something that has sarcasm in it, that is critical about some. Don't use that just to pull them down, that method of discrediting somebody, that method of now talking to somebody like they're a three-year-old when they're an adult, treating them like they're a kindergartner. Demeaningly do you talk with them. You know, your spouse is going to hurt deeply when you do that. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, the Bible says the words of a talebearer, says, are as wounds, and they go down into the uttermost parts of the belly. And what happens? That talebearer, that one that is just negative and pulling down and just negative and pulling down, it's like the rainwater that drops over and over and over again and is destroying the very foundation of which it continually drops upon. That person that is just always negative and all, you know, you say something, they've always got to take the opposite end of the spectrum. You try and say something positive and then they've got to come back with a negative. You say something that might be slightly neutral and they're going to come back with the opposite pole. Can I tell you that's going to hurt the marriage? So what do we do? We be ready to give that positive solution when all of a sudden that negative problem comes up. What do? We watch our words and we guard the tone of our voice. What do? We keep our words private, dealing with the conflict. What do? Let me give you this and I'm done, and that is this. Use the words to try and clean up things rather, if you will, than try to have that continual conflict. Rather, if you will, use those words to clean up the things after the conflict is over. Once it's over, stay with me now, it's over. Amen. I can't believe you did this yesterday. Now, aren't you glad God's not you? Amen. Says that he hides your sin, washes your sin away, blots your sin out. It is far as from the east is from the west. It's in the deepest sea. When you go to him and, you know, can you imagine how the Father is? He says, if we confess, that's a conditional clause, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all, A-double-L, unrighteousness. Is that right? Yeah. All right, so here I come to God and I say, dear Father, please forgive me of this. And God says, okay, Mike, done. Okay. Done. I go back to my Heavenly Father tomorrow and say, you know, I really feel bad about that thing I did yesterday. I'm coming to you. Would you please forgive me again? And God is going to say, what are you talking about? Amen. See, he doesn't remember your sin anymore. Now, we as humans, we have problems with that. Yeah. But can I tell you, when you forgive somebody, if you have truly forgiven somebody, you never revisit it. You bury it, it's gone, it's never brought up again. You say, preacher, that's hard living. Well, then try it harder. Amen. Well, you know, he always what? She always what? If you have truly forgiven somebody, it's over, it's done, you walk away, it's history, you don't keep bringing it up, throwing it in their face, hoping that they can get a grip. They should not have to get a grip. You should be a good Christian. Oh, that went over really good. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so many times when I deal with people that have big trouble in forgiving other people, here's what I say. You might not have the ability to forgive them right now, but can you not let Christ forgive them through you? Can't you be the vessel that God uses to render forgiveness? By the way, if you take pressure type of water and you put it through a hose, you put it through a cylinder, pressure now, and it is pressure going through that hose, going through that cylinder. Guess what it's going to do? It's going to clean out all the grime. I know people it's had their arteries get clogged up. You know what they do? They pressure them out, or they stent. They put a stent in there. They do something to be able to open that vessel up. Watch me. If they don't open that vessel up, that person's going to die. If you keep stuff inside of you, such as unforgiveness, the person that you should be forgiven, they don't die. You die. Because you've not allowed God to be able to work in you, you have stopped him working in you. You said, I don't want you working in me. Right. Okay, not only that, your prayers will not be answered. Why? Because that is a sin. Right. Now you can't get your prayers answered. Right. You got to make sure that your relationship with your husband is right, your wife is right, children, teenagers, listen to me. Your parents is right. Your friends is right. When you make sure that that relationship is right, guess what? Now you can have a relationship right with God. But until you're hanging on to something and you're letting it clog up your spiritual arteries, if you will, please, you know, you're always never going to get a victory. Here's the thought. Blood makes us related. Loyalty makes us, makes you family. You ought to be loyal to your parents, loyal to your husband, loyal to your wife. Okay? Being kind one to another. That, by the way, that does involve grace. That means that you are gracious one toward another. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Giving, if you would please, each other better treatment than what they deserve. Mercy is withholding judgment. Okay? All right. So we understand this. Being tenderhearted, it means that what I'm going to do is I'm going to graciously surrender myself to the point and to the place that God can use me. And as soon as I realize that, yep, you're wrong, but yes, I forgive you, then I can move on with my life. You know, in forgiving one another, here's what you're doing. You're forgiving them and you're forgetting anything that was done that was hurtful to you. Oh, you say, preacher, that's hard. I didn't say it was easy. By the way, you cannot do that as a human. But by God's grace, you can do all things. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I had a man one time that had hurt one of his children, and the child came to me and said, man, you know, my dad hurt me years ago, and I hate my dad, I hate my dad, I hate my dad. And I said, you're going to live the rest of your day in misery because you hate your dad. And by the way, your dad doesn't even know that you hate him. He doesn't even know you care. See, you're the one that has the cancer, and you're the one's going to die. And in order to get rid of the cancer, you got to go to the great physician. Amen. And you got to ask the great physician to help you and heal you. You've got to confess it. You've got to go to him. You've got to ask him for help. And in so doing, then he'll give you the power and the grace to be able to reach in and to forgive other people. You know, the day that this individual forgave their dad is the day that their total countenance changed. I'm talking about the rest of the days of their life. went from being gloomy and to being happy. And you know why? Because they understood the grace of God. They understood the forgiveness of God. Listen to it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, that's only written to brethren, and it's only written to spiritual brethren. Because spiritual people always want to restore other people. They're not in it for themselves. They're in it to restore someone. They're in it to help someone. They're in it to improve somebody else's life. They're in it to be able to serve someone else. So conflict ultimately is caused by someone that is in the right yet refuses to forgive and restore a person that's in the wrong. That's why there's marriage conflicts. He did me wrong. Okay, are you Christian enough to forgive him? Well, she did me wrong. My parents, they did me so wrong. Okay, are you Christian enough to forgive them? Well, I tell you what, it just bothers me every time I think about my parents. Every time I think about my parents, it just roasts me the wrong way. Why? Why? It's because you've not totally forgiven. Because if you have totally forgiven, it's not going to rub you the wrong way. Now, you might have difficulty, but if you've totally forgiven someone, you're going to be an individual that will pray for them, that will encourage them, that will try to help them. Be that individual that's that way. Oh, you say, but that's hard. You can't do it in your flesh. It's impossible. But with God's help, all things are possible. Amen. It doesn't matter what your background is. Well, I'll tell you what, I had a wicked background. Okay, I've heard other excuses too. It doesn't matter what your background is, it's who's in your life right now. I'm not looking at my background and using that as an excuse for my lousy living. I'm looking at the one that can give me victory in my daily life of living. That's who I'm looking at. When you walk in the present instead of living in the past, you have a great future. If you're living in the past, you cannot walk in the present and you have no future. So it's better that you be an individual that knows what it is to forgive and walk on. You know how many marriages, I'm telling you, you know how many marriages suffer just because both parties are like this. Whenever you get in the car with one, they're always talking bad about the other. Whenever you get in the car with the other, they're always talking bad about the one. I mean, it's just, I can't believe my husband. I can't believe my wife. And no wonder it doesn't last. It doesn't last. You have a strong-headed man and a strong-headed woman. And what do? They have head-ons. But what if one of them says, hey, I'm not fighting no more. I forgive. I just forgive. I'm going to let God work through me, and I'm just going to forgive. I'm not going to argue no more. I'm just going to forgive. What if both of them are that way? I think I'll forgive too. Now it comes together this way. And the relationship gets stronger. You say, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. Don't forget, neither did you. You got what you deserved, you'd be in hell. I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. Thank God for his grace and mercy. Now, why can't you do that to somebody else? We can if we want to. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.